tweet at Today SOR.
Well, after all the hard work, we're finally enjoying the wonderful colour and growth in our gardens as we slip past high summer and towards late. It's tempting to take your foot off the gas, I suppose, but as welcome as the laziness of the season may be, those who give up too early are missing out. Gardening expert Marie Staunton is here to tell us how to make the most of our summer gardens. Maybe time for one or two queries. 51551, lots in already. Marie, while the garden is blooming at the moment, our listeners have been getting in touch wondering how they can prolong the flowering period. So what is the magic formula?
Okay, so some things you can cut back to kind of get them to flower later on in the summer. So salvia would be a good one. You might have heard of salvia hot lips or salvia royal bumble, one of those ones, or blaze is another one. So you might be going away in your holidays. So there's no point in your garden being full in flower when you're away in your holidays. So cut them back maybe about 3 to 4 inches, the tops of the salvia, just straight across, 3 to 4 inches. And what will happen then is when you come back, they'll start into flower again. So they'll be flowering longer. You want them to flower into October, November.
And what about deadheading in general?
Deadheading is one of the most important jobs. If you don't deadhead your flowers, nearly all of them, anything that's going over, what you're doing is you're compromising the plant. The plant is trying to send water and food right up to the top where the flower is, and the flower has gone over, it's dying. So if you pinch out the flower, then it'll promote more growth, more other flowers, and the little flowers that are behind it will come into flower then.
And what about feeding?
Feeding is really important. I always feed on a Friday. That's kind of my thing. So tomato food on a Friday, because tomato food is a high potash feed and it promotes flowers and fruit. So if you use like any sort of tomato food, it would be excellent.
And it doesn't have to be just on tomatoes, I take it.
No. You see, that's the thing. It's for fruit and flowers.
Yeah. And then, well, I suppose today might change things and tomorrow. And I drove to a really heavy shower in Blackrock yesterday thinking this is exactly what my lawn needs.
Yeah.
But it didn't actually get as far as
further out. Yeah, skirts around.
So watering needed?
Well, we need good rain, and I mean, we need that fine misty rain that soaks into the ground, not hops off the ground. I mean, people think when you get a heavy shower, oh, isn't that brilliant? But what it's doing is just hopping off the leaves, the bigger leaves. It's hopping off the ground and running off.
Well, you like the soft West of Ireland rain.
I love that, yeah. I love the Al Kerry rain. It's wonderful. That's what you need.
Now, if you want to put a bit of colour into your garden for the autumn, what could you think about planting or putting down at this stage?
Okay, for me, one of the nicest plants is Coronilla Valentina Glaucus citrine. I brought one in here a few months ago. It flowers for 7 months of the year. Okay, so
give me that again now, slowly.
So Coronilla Valentina Glauca citrina.
Okay, Coronilla Valentina is probably enough of a start.
That'll do
it,
yeah. So it has a yellow flower, pea-like flower, and it slightly scented. It flowers for 7 months, so October to May. Mm-hmm. That's kind of its time.
Wow,
so it's an overwinter one. So you could have that, would be lovely. Or Mahonia was a wonderful plant for winter colour. So you're looking at the dreariest months like January when you really want to lift. And Mahonia has big, wonderful architectural kind of leaves. That's what they call them. It's architectural kind of look to it.
And would they be in the garden centres now, yeah?
They'll be coming into the garden. Those plants will be coming into the garden centres kind of September time, ready for you to buy them because they like them to be in flower.
Okay, give us the names again. Mahonia was born.
Mahonia Charity, or you could have Coronilla Valentina.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what about cuttings again? Is this the time of year to start thinking about that?
Well, you could be doing cuttings. You are taking off plants from kind of the first flush of really good growth. So you're talking late spring up until kind of August, September. You can get that much out of it. We get a good summer, you're going to get nice kind of leaves.
You have a nice, lovely lavender pot there.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
In full flower.
Yeah.
So why did you bring that in? Is that to tell me about cuttings?
Well, I want to tell you two things. I want to tell you that you need to cut your lavenders back after they finish flowering in the end of August. Really important. If you don't do that, you're going to end up with loads of woody kind of base to your lavender. And people say to me, oh, look at my lavenders after keeling over in the middle and it's all woody at the base. If you don't cut it every year, that's what's going to happen. That is
so, but I think the advice is don't cut it back too much. Cut it back.
Yeah.
You've got to leave some sort of soft growth to the point where you cut
it. Yeah. So you're not going to go down to the old wood, this brown wood. You're going to take off the new growth. So say, for example, you have old flowers. You're coming into the end of August. There's old flowers and they've just kind of died off now. You're going to take it down to It made maybe 3 to 4 inches of new growth.
So okay, you're going to there's still
nice bit of growth on your lavender. So you've taken off 3 to 4 inches of growth all the way across, like just square clippers. I just use a shears.
Okay.
No, there's no big mystery to it. And then what you're left with, which is wonderful, is a cutting that you can now propagate from. Okay, so you've got a nice bit of soft growth there. And what I do is I just take off the old flower heads, because what you don't want is it trying to keep flowering, mm-hmm. and strip off a couple of leaves at the base. So now you've got a 3-inch cutting that you are going to insert into a mix.
Yeah, but I tell you what the mix is. And the mix is?
The mix is one part sand, horticultural sand or perlite. You can't use beach sand or builder sand. You have to use horticultural sand because there's no kind of salts or things in it. I dip the end of the little cutting into honey. Okay, one part horticultural sand, two parts peat or peat substitute, whatever you have. A little bit of honey promotes the root growth.
Okay. As opposed to rooting powder,
as opposed
or that
to
awful
hormone,
smelly stuff.
Hormone
that
rooting powder,
is kind of a paste,
so we're trying to get away from chemical a bit. So they're like ourselves, they like to be in good company, right? So you're going to place a number of them around the outside, the edge of a pot, insert them in, and then you're going to cover them in a plastic, your water well, cover them in a plastic bag and put a little elastic band around the base of the bag. And what happens is they'll sweat, they have pores, they'll sweat, and the water will hit the plastic and come back down and keep them nice and moist until they root.
How long will all that take?
Now, it could take 6 weeks if you have a little bit of bottom heat on them, but they're quick enough to root.
Okay, so that's the lavender.
Yeah.
Seed sowing for next week, next year.
Next
I see
year.
You've got a packet of sweet pea with you, Marie.
I do, isn't it fantastic? So we're already, I always think, you know, this time of the year, you're getting, most of the work has kind of been done. You've done your big jobs. So you're thinking ahead to kind of next year. If you get sweet pea going kind of in September, the seed going in September, you'll have hardy plants to plant out for next year. The trick with sweet pea is to take them out of the packet and put them into a kind of a tepid water, lukewarm water, and that helps the seed coat to just break up a little bit.
Leave them what, overnight?
Overnight, so that they can imbibe a bit of water. And when they are in your little pots, they'll get a nice bit of heat, they'll have a nice bit of water, and they'll start to germinate. So you're bringing them on. Now, you're not going to get lanky old sweet pea. You're going to pinch them out, and pinching out is just as they grow and they get their true leaves and they start to grow nice and strong, you're just going to pinch them out, take a little bit of growth off, because you don't want straggly sweet pea. And that's kind of September, October you do that.
Yeah, and if you do, what's the advantage of doing that in September, October, as opposed to waiting till, say, February, March?
Because they're hardier. So they'll take off like a rocket. When you put them in the ground in late spring, they'll just be far more productive, far hardier than the ones you're only taking out or you're only starting off in the
spring.
And
where do you leave them for the winter? I mean, you take them in, do you?
Well, you'd put them in a glass house or a sheltered position. You wouldn't particularly leave them outside in the snow if we get snow or anything like that.
Is it too soon to be ordering bulbs for next year? I mean, gosh,
no.
It's only the middle of July.
Well, I've
now.
Done it already, see. I'm way ahead of the pack here. I was in Bodnant Gardens in Wales and I came across the most beautiful iris, beautiful yellow iris. And I'm quite like iris, so I looked up online this particular one, golden yellow, and I found a website that in Holland that will send them over to me. So I order them, but they won't deliver them to me till September.
I see.
Way ahead of you.
Now, what about newly planted trees and shrubs? Watering important there?
It is, because we think, you know, we're getting a drop of rain today and we think, oh, that's marvellous. I won't bother going out and watering those new trees that I put in. Trees are under pressure. They're under pressure from last year and now they're under pressure from this year. We haven't had enough rain. So if you can give them a bucket of water or a couple of watering cans of water, that'll help them along.
How often?
Well, you'd want to be watching them weekly at the moment, mm-hmm. because there really is dieback. If you look at kind of leaves on newly planted trees, they're crisping up and they're going brown. Mm-hmm. And that's from last year and this year. We just haven't had enough rain.
And if they're showing those signs of stress, I mean, does that mean they're dead?
No, it doesn't mean they're dead. It just means they're divesting themselves of their leaves to preserve them their roots and their whole system.
Okay, some of the queries. My potatoes have black spot. Should I cut them at the root? Will potatoes still grow if I do this?
No, so what yes, you have to cut them, because if they have black spot and you haven't treated it, you're going to cut them to the ground, take off all the foliage, cut them right down to the ground, and leave the tubers, leave your potatoes in the ground. They won't grow any bigger, but they're safe then.
How do I get rid of bracken or ferns from my garden? I'm hoping to turn a half an acre into a wild flower meadow, but it's covered in bracken and briars.
The problem with bracken is if you don't see goats eating bracken, then you know there's something wrong. There's a poison in it, and they're not interested in eating it. So what you're going to have to do is, if you're not interested in using chemical, you'll have to hand take them out, dig them out. Do not do it in late summer, because the spores are all over the place, and that's what, if you inhale that, it's not very good for you. So you need to do it in the spring as they're coming up. So what you're doing is you're tillering all the time to try to weaken the plant or dig them out.
I want to plant a border with a view to looking good in winter. It will be backed by dogwood. What do you suggest I plant?
Well, I've just told you about coronilla, would mm-hmm. be a beautiful one. Mahonias, skimmias. You could have some salvias, which will flower right into kind of October, November time.
What's the best way to deal with pigeons? They've eaten everything. Peas, cabbage, sprouts, cauliflower, everything is killing aloud.
Yes, no, it's not. But the interesting thing, mine sit on the wires overhead over our garden waiting for me to plant out the cabbage. So what I do now is I disguise them, I plant out the cabbage, and I put a horticultural fleece over them. And as the cabbage grows, the horticultural fleece is so light, it just raises up so they can't see my cabbage. Because I've gone out and the whole place has been decimated by pigeons, so I understand. Interesting.
Yeah, I was helping a friend with an allotment and that exact thing happened. Yeah. Gone.
Horticultural fleece kind of disguises them.
Yeah, what about just the kind of netting that you can get?
You can use netting as well, yeah.
Why is my grass turning yellow?
Well, it's dry, like everybody else's grass at the moment, you know. If you have a dog, then you're going to have yellow patches. But generally, grass is drying at the minute.
Tell me, when is a good time to lift peony roses, as they did not flower this year and they need to move to perhaps a more suitable area?
Okay, peony roses need to be moved earlier. So you're talking about October time, move them, because they flower earlier. So move them in October. Give them a good feed, prepare the ground well, a good mulch of or compost or manure and that sort of thing. Give them what they need. They're heavy flowers, so they need a heavy feed.
I have planted an ornamental grove of 65 trees in the garden and want wildflower carpet in the same area. Looking for some tips.
Okay, so you're going to have to scarify the ground that your trees are growing in. Around the trees, you're going to have to take off the layer of grass, because grass is going to outcompete the lovely flowers that you're trying to get in. When it's kind of bald, will look kind of bald, the grass, and then you're going to sow in your seed in the autumn.
Last one, Justine. I have a 30-foot Christmas tree in my garden. In the last few weeks, it has turned bright orange. Never happened before. Please help.
Okay, there's a thing called, it's a dieback of conifers, and it's just that it's dried out. So Pestilotheopsis is a fungal kind of spread by fungal spores, and it causes that kind of brown patches. But once a tree is under pressure, it's open to anything like that, a fungal disease. Aphids will attack it. There's a lot of it about. If it's the whole thing is turned, then it's on its way. It is dried out completely. It's
dried. So that might be really bad. Another thing I noticed, leaves falling off a holly tree. Why would that be?
Dry. Trees are, you know, quite intelligent. They'll drop leaves in order to save the whole tree. So they drop a portion of leaves in order to save the whole tree.
Okay, you are a mine of information,
thank
Marie Staunton.
Much.
Thank you so much indeed for coming in. We'll take a break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.